Turn with me to the first Psalm, Psalm number 1. It's on page number 843 in your pew Bibles. You'll get a lot more out of the sermon if you're there in the scripture with me, because we're going to be breaking this psalm down as we look at it together. The first psalm. Psalms in scriptures are always relatively easy to find. You just kind of let the Bible fall to the middle, and usually that's somewhere close to Psalms. Before we look at that together, before I read Psalm 1, I want to set the stage with the word of introduction. New Year's choices are time to start new things, new beginnings, set new goals, a time for fresh starts, making new resolutions. Perhaps you made some New Year's resolutions. Perhaps you've already broken some New Year's resolutions. But there you go. I see that hand. It's time for a clean slate, in a sense. And set new courses, chart new paths. It's a time for looking back and evaluating how things went last year. Time to look forward and establish new plans, setting goals, if you don't like the word resolutions. But being intentional and deliberate in our spiritual life is an important part of that process. So, Happy New Year in the beginning of the year. As we begin a new year, I'm beginning a new series of sermons on the Psalms, a new series of messages that will go roughly up to the season of Lent. Psalms is one of my favorite parts of the Bible. It's just rich, with tremendous teaching, a lot of wonderful Psalms. We won't look at every single one of the 150 Psalms, but picking out some highlights. And Psalm 1 is a great introduction to the Psalms. It's a picture of two ways, the two choices that we have. Basically, it all boils down to two ways, the way of wisdom versus the way of foolishness. In this Psalm, we see the contrast between the way of righteousness and the way of unrighteousness. The contrast between the way of godliness and the way of ungodliness. Just like you've heard people say, there are two kinds of people in this world. Psalm 1 describes two kinds of people, the wicked or the sinners and the righteous. You've heard people say, well, there are two kinds of people in the world, those who see the cup half empty, pessimists, and those who see the cup half full, the optimists. Which are you? There are two kinds of people in the world. There are two kinds of people in our community anyhow. Those who grew up in Bricktown, still call it Bricktown, and those who have immigrated in and haven't been here for more than 60 years or whatever. Right? They're the locals, and they're the Bennies, right? Those who have come down from the north. Or there are two kinds of people in the world. Those who are disappointed that the Eagles lost last night and those who didn't care. Hey, there you go. Exactly. That's the way I feel. Two kinds of people. Two ways we have choices. As Robert Frost penned, two roads diverged in the middle of a wood. I took the one less traveled by. Classic choice. Two ways. You know the quote by Yogi Berra. When you come to a fork in the road, take it. Right? Where's Ralph Baker when I need him? Okay. Yogi Berra or Jesus. Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount said, enter by the narrow gate, for broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many are those who enter that way. Follow the straight and narrow, not the broad and crooked way. Two ways. Well, listen as I read Psalm 1 for this description, seeing the contrast. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and his leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Look at verse 1 with me. In this description of the two ways, verse 1 describes the way of the wicked or the ungodly, as the King James Version or New King James Version says. And look, let's look together. If you had a highlighter, if you had a pen or something and were want to underline in your Bibles, if it's your Bibles, it's a good thing to kind of break things down. Note the negative progression of sinful depravity in the way of the wicked in verse 1. If you were to look at the nouns in this triplet, you can always tell Hebrew poetry by couplets or parallelism. In this case, a triplet, you know, that says it three times, building in intensity. Look at the nouns. Walk. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of the sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. The way, to begin with, the counsel of the wicked, way of thinking. Sin is conceived in the mind after the counsel of those who are ungodly. Whatever shapes our thinking tends to form our behavior, the counsel of the wicked in our thinking. The second builds, standing in the way of the sinner. It's behavioral, moving from thinking to our behavior, the way that we act. By the way, it's not talking about being in the way in terms of obstruction. When it says being in the way of sinners, it's talking about being of the manner of those who sin, as is the way of those who sin. Blessed is a man who does not stand in the way of that behavior. Rather, the third noun is sitting in the seat of mockers or scoffers, someone who goes from the behavior patterns to establishing that as a personal identity, a belonging to the group with which you identify. The three steps down following those nouns. Walking in the counsel, standing in the way, sitting in the seat. Well, look at the verbs in verse 1. And again, see three stages of downward progression. Blessed is the man who does not walk, first verb, in the counsel of the wicked. Walking, casual glance, flirting with, casual interest, till there's a point at which you take your stand. Number two, does not stand in the way of, after the way of sinners. Someone who has gone from a glance to a more serious reflection, pondering, pausing to watch. Not just to observe, but to be part of, then to be identified with, who does not sit in the seat of mockers or scoffers. The third verse, to settle in, to join in. I have kind of an innocuous illustration of this. This past week when everyone in our house was sick, once we got feeling well enough to come downstairs from our bedrooms to watch TV together, we did a marathon of Lord of the Rings trilogy, the old extended play version of DVDs of Lord of the Rings, and I finally got to the point where I felt like I was ready to do some things around the house, and my daughter was still watching. And you know how it goes when you're kind of walking through the living room, you know, kind of notice what's going on TV, and as you're going through, you stop. Before long, you're sitting down to watch. Oh yeah, I was going to do that. That's kind of the picture here. A simple process of becoming stuck, so to speak. You know, TV has powers to reach out and snag you. Well, so it is with the world, actually. Well, one more thing to focus on, the way of the wicked. The wicked are described in this picture, focusing on the objects of these three in the triplets. The objects, again, three downward spirals. The ungodly first, sinners, scoffers. The intensity of this wickedness going from bad to worse. Just like the story of Lot in the Bible that Hector told to the kids. That was marvelous that he picked up on that story. I just happened to be reading that in my devotions this week. So I thought, well, that's a perfect illustration of what we're talking about. And then Hector, I didn't tell him that I was going to use this as an illustration. He picked up on that. So the Holy Spirit must have been moving. But Lot was Abraham's nephew. And in chapter 13 of the book of Genesis, as Abraham and Lot are separating and moving their flocks and taking over the lands, Lot, it says, looked east. Well, that's a great, prosperous, fertile area by the Jordan River. But in the plains of that part of Palestine, were Sodom and Gomorrah, as Hector said. He looked to the east. And then later in that chapter, in chapter 13, says he pitched his tent near Sodom. First he looked, then he pitched his tent near there. And then in chapter 19, the story of Lot says that he is sitting in the gate of the city of Sodom, which in biblical language means that he had become a leader in that community, not just sitting in the doorway, but he's actually part of those who make decisions in the gate. Whenever you read that, interpreting that in the Bible. So it was with Lot. The gradual progression into the association with those who are unrighteous, sinners, wicked. So it is with the description of that way. The way of the righteous, by contrast, verse 2. So we look at that. Compared to that, blessed is the man who follows the way of righteousness, because his delight is in the law of the Lord. The law of the Lord being Scripture and God's Word. Do you delight in the Bible and God's Word for your life? The truth that shapes our thinking, in contrast to the counsel of the wicked. The way of righteousness. The way of those who honor God. The way of those who will prosper are those who delight in the law of the Lord, in the Bible. To delight in something is not just reading it, which is a good New Year's resolution. I'm going to read the Bible more. Not just studying it, which is good still, but those who delight, relish with thoroughly and enthusiastically enjoying feeding on God's Word. To delight in means to find the fullness of joy in God's Word. That's the way of righteousness in contrast to those who find the counsel of the wicked to be enticing. For he meditates on it day and night. Healthy spiritual mind fill, I call it. You know what a landfill is? Well, mind fill. Put that in your mind and fill your mind with God's Word. Day and night, meditating, memorizing God's Word. Last night I was talking to Lynn Wick. She dropped in while I was working in this, on my sermon, and I told her that I was going to be preaching on Psalm 1, and she started quoting it from memory. I was like, wow, this is awesome. She has this down. Do you memorize Scripture? Joshua 1:8, the Lord says, don't let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Same kind of idea as Psalm 1. Philippians 4:8, Paul writes to the Philippian church, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Meditate on those things. We tend to fill our minds with fearful thoughts. We tend to watch fearful stories on TV. No wonder our minds are robbed of peace and joy and filled with anxieties. Because instead of meditating on God's Word, delighting in it, spiritual nourishment for hungry Christians. Jesus, the bread of life, you need to feed on Jesus. For man does not live by bread alone, but on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, Jesus said. You know what? It's great to be here in church and feeding on the riches of God's Word, but think about it. One feast a week is not going to sustain your spiritual growth. I've heard somebody say, one feast a week will not sustain you, but a fast for the rest of the week will make you weak. In your personal daily devotions, begin to chart a new course again. Perhaps every year you set resolutions, you set goals, purposes to spend more time in God's Word. Let's do it again. Let's sign up again. Memorize, meditate God's Word. For that's the way of the righteousness. Which way are you taking? The way of the counsel of the wicked, or the delighting in God's Word? Well, it's more than just our decision of which path to take. It involves determination of God's judgment. Determination of God's judgment. For the wicked are like chaff. There's a simile here. The ungodly or the wicked, by the way, it's not just terrorists, child molesters, axe murderers, the wicked. It's not only cop killers, wife beaters, and larcenous thieves, but really, those who are being described in this first path are all who resist and deny Jesus Christ. All who go the other way instead of God's way. They're like chaff. There's no significance, no weight to them. Just like in biblical times, a grist mill, they would grind the grain, take a pitchfork type instrument, and throw it up in the air, and the wind would blow away that which was not the grain. It would take the chaff. They are like chaff with nothing to it. Says the way of the wicked, those who go that way have nothing to stand on. They won't stand in the judgment when standing before God if they've chosen that way. And they have no future. According to this psalm, it says their way will perish. They will perish after the judgment of God. There is no hope of eternal life. It reminds me of John 3:16. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. The way of the wicked leads to death. But there is a way that leads to life. The way of the righteous is like a fruitful tree. Again, another simile. Those who take that path, the way of righteousness, instead of perishing, will be prospering. Prosperity, flourishing, vitality, growth, life, fruitful living. In the providence, protection of God, the Lord will watch over those who take that way, the way of righteousness, the psalmist sings. Blessed is those who take this path. The true way to happiness. By the way, notice this word blessed. Jesus picks up on this. Very familiar with the Psalms. Psalm 1, as he begins his Sermon on the Mount, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, he says. Blessed. You want to find the way to God's benediction and blessing in your life. Follow this way. Choose this way. Chart this course for this new year. You see, it's decision time. Which way are you going to choose? There's no middle ground. There's no third option. You can't have your cake and eat it too. You can't say, well, I don't like either of those choices. I'm going to make my own path. It's either one way or another, according to this. God doesn't take pleasure in halfway Christianity and lukewarm Christians. As it says in Revelation 2, like the Laodicean church, don't try and do both. Have to make a decision. This new year, this new day is a time for new beginnings, a time to make up your mind now that you are presented with the choice. Now I realize that we're still on the way. None of us has reached perfection. We haven't yet arrived, but we have to make a choice which direction that we're going to go on the way. Kind of at a crossroads of faith, as soon as we're presented with this call of Christ in our lives. Either seek and serve Christ, or suit and serve yourself. Have you decided to follow Jesus?